Welcome or welcome back to Whores for Horror. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we are doing a free-for-all episode, so it's just whatever each of us chose.
Happy 2022.
Yeah, this will be our first episode of 2022. We hope you set, you know, awesome intentions that you're going to follow through on. Had a great year in 2021, if that's possible. But I do just have to say, everyone needs to give a huge congratulations to Kayla because she is buying her first fucking house.
Solo buying my house. I'm clap, so clap, happy. Clap,
clap. Thanks. Clap, clap. She's full grown adulting.
Yeah. Trying.
Okay, so, but with Kayla buying her house, there actually comes, you know, a couple of changes that we're going to have to do with the podcast. So Kayla's obviously moving. I'm starting a master's program in cybersecurity. So both of us are going to have, you know, crazy schedules coming up. And we've decided that we're going to take, wait, when are we? Okay, so we're posting this episode, which will come out on the 7th. Mm-hmm. And then we're posting another episode that'll come out January 14th. And then we're taking all the way until March 4th off just so that, you know, I can get settled into my routine at graduate school. Kayla can get settled into her new home, not have to stress about the podcast. And then once we come back, we're going to start with posting an episode every 2 weeks. So we are taking a little time off and then some things are shifting around. But we'll be back.
Everyone is patient and comes back to us.
Yeah.
We really don't want to take time off because we have a pretty decent amount of people listening, and we very much appreciate that. Thank you very much. But yeah, just bear with us because we still plan on doing the podcast. We just need to adjust a little bit.
Yeah, some life changes. Gonna be back. But yeah, that's a really good, you know, that's really good, Kayla, because I do just want to say thank you so much for listening to our podcast in 2021. We honestly exceeded the goal that we'd set for ourselves. And it's just so crazy that we have people that listen to, you know, our fucking bullshit every week.
Yeah. Like, I know. Oh, my God. And then what? We started end of March. So first episode came out in April, I think.
Yeah.
Of 2021. And our goal is to hit 1,000 listens before 2022. And we exceeded it, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's all because of you.
I'm really excited.
Me too. I'm just proud of us because we were so nervous to even start the podcast. We were like, you know, you can hear it in the first episode. And now we've come so far. And I'm so happy you're all on this journey with us. Like I said, like, you know, we'll be back. We just need to take a little bit of time.
And you know what? Maybe we'll be back before then if we adjust, like, quickly. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, like, so maybe before the 4th, but tentatively the next episode after next week will be March 4th. So
we love you all. We're happy you're here. But let's start this episode. All right. I'm going first. And this week I am covering Taylor Swift's lawsuit. So while
Which
this
one?
Is
Did she only have one?
No, this is like her sexual harassment lawsuit. She's only had one of those.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So this is coming out a little bit late, but she just released her whole new like Taylor's version of the album. She's a fucking queen. I love it. Your sister-in-law or stepsister?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, two of them actually. They are very much in love with Taylor Swift. So I got the one who's super, super crazy about her, the red vinyl.
Oh, that'll be a good gift.
Yeah, she's in love with it.
Yeah, I bet. I'm in love with Taylor Swift, so I decided that this would be a perfect topic for the free-for-all.
Very good. Mine is weird, maybe morbid, maybe like the lighter end of morbid.
I don't know what she's doing, you guys, so I'm going to be just as surprised as you when she announces it.
I'm just going to paint you guys a picture, and then we'll figure out what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But anyway, Taylor Swift's lawsuit.
All right. In October of 2017, women all over the world took to social media to share their experiences of sexual harassment in the workplace. The hashtag MeToo movement went viral and spurred a global discussion about this issue, obviously. And so many women and men have bravely come forward with their experiences of being sexually harassed by colleagues and bosses. And this movement has directly made people accountable for their actions, to which I say, like, about fucking time. Like,
yeah.
So now I'm going to throw some really disgusting statistics at you, just because I think that some of these statistics will put everything into context.
Good.
So in 2018, a little bit ago, but you know, still relevant, an online survey launched by a nonprofit called Stop Street Harassment found that 81% of women and 43% of men had experienced some form of sexual harassment during their lifetime.
Yeah.
This included verbal forms like being catcalled, whistled at, or getting unwanted comments of a sexual nature. This also included physical harassment, cyber harassment, and sexual assault.
I'm actually surprised your statistics aren't higher.
Yeah, yeah. And this was 2018. This seems
a little low for, like,
What people go through.
Yeah.
The results showed that 77% of women had experienced verbal sexual harassment and 51% had been sexually touched without their permission.
I believe it.
Additionally, the majority of women, 66% to be exact, said that they had been sexually harassed in public spaces.
Yep. Like work? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like a pot of sexual harassment.
The subway, like going to the grocery store, in the fucking park. Like, let women live their lives. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, now I'm upset. Okay. And if those numbers aren't bad enough for you, in 2019, over 652,000 women were raped in the United States alone. And that number only includes rapes where vaginal penetration occurred. So as we know, there's all different forms of rape. You can force someone to, you know, oral sex. I think it's called sodomy, correct?
Sodomy is anal.
Well, that and then oral sex. And those aren't included in that number.
Great. And is this an anonymous survey or is this just the reported cases?
This is the reported cases.
Okay, and most cases don't go reported because women are villainized when they report cases and everybody thinks that they're lying.
Yep. Nearly 80% of the female sexual assault victims experienced their first assault before the age of 25.
We have such a perverted society.
It's disgusting. Around 20% of American males have been the victim of sexual violence, and a quarter of male victims were under the age of 10 years old when the violence occurred.
What are these people doing? Like, what's wrong with your brain?
What the fuck are they doing? Rape statistics show that less than 20% of rapes are reported. So keep that in mind. Over 652,000, less than 20% are reported. And less than 5% of those reported have been proven false.
Well, yeah, let's keep that in mind. We shouldn't, if someone reports something, you should take it seriously and you shouldn't think that they're lying. I saw one TikTok video where this girl finally felt comfortable speaking out about something and everybody's like, what if she's lying? Bitch,
who cares? What if she's not? Yeah, what if she's not? There's so much more to lose if she's not lying. Yeah. And approximately 70 women commit suicide every single day in the United States following an act of sexual violence, and 1 in 5 women in the U.S. will be raped.
The U.S. is safe, y'all. American dream. Get a white picket fence and rape. All in one. Sorry, that was rude.
Yeah, so those numbers are obviously, like, fucking staggering, and they're disgusting when you think about it. And if you believe that sexual harassment and assault is not a fucking epidemic in this country, like, you're part of the problem, and just go away. Like, genuinely, yeah. Like, if you turn off the podcast.
You're just gonna, yeah, you're gonna close your mind off and go, oh, that doesn't happen? The fuck it doesn't.
1 in 5, that's fucking disgusting.
Yes, it is. All of those numbers are gross. I hate them.
Yeah. And it's like, and I don't have the answers on how to make this stop, obviously, because I don't get paid for that. But it's just like, what is happening to women and young boys? Like, what is happening in this world?
It's got to be like some sort of power thing, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely I think it's a power.
You're exerting some form of power over somebody else who statistically probably can't fight you back.
Yeah, yeah. You're just a fucking coward. Oh, I'm so angry. Okay. So today we'll be discussing a case of sexual assault that I believe is important. And I think that this case helped to shed a light on the fact that sexual assault can happen anywhere, at any time, and anyone can be a victim. And like with her coming forward, Taylor Swift, so many other women were inspired and said like, you know, hey, I didn't think this was sexual assault, but this happened to me. Like,
no, seriously, there's a lot of things that have been normalized that are technically sexual harassment or sexual assault.
Yeah.
And it's just been normalized our whole lives.
She took a stand and said, fuck no, like this isn't okay. And so many young kids look up to her. So you know that they were like, yeah, Taylor Swift obviously said this wasn't okay. And it's not fucking okay. Like, you cannot touch me without my consent.
Yes. And this is what celebrities should be doing.
Yes.
With their status. You know, she's coming out, even though she probably doesn't want to. Because she's going to get a fuck ton of shade. People are going to tell her that she's lying. You know, mm-hmm. It could hurt her actual job and her image. But she's coming out so that other people could be brave and go, oh, Taylor Swift did it. I can do it.
It's like, yeah, you're right. That isn't okay.
And the fact that less than 20% is reported, that should tell you something is wrong with our justice system.
Yes.
If you feel like you're going to be more victimized reporting something that was done wrong to you, that's a problem,
yeah.
Especially in a sexual nature. Like, it's so fucking demeaning.
No, I 100% agree. You're not wrong. A victim should never be scared to come forward to hold an attacker responsible for what they fucking did.
Yeah.
And then so frustrating.
And then that brings into, like, I mean, we're not going to talk about it on this episode, maybe later, but, like, Texas and their whole abortion outlaw thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well,
like, you're wrong.
You're just wrong.
You should not be able to tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies.
Agreed.
That's it.
And, like,
it's not your decision.
Not to sound completely horrible, but I don't give a fuck if someone has an abortion. Genuinely, I don't fucking care.
If you want to have one, I'll support you.
Yeah, whatever. That's why I'm like, why do you care?
People have abortions for certain reasons, right? They can't afford a baby. They don't want to put more kids in the foster care system because that's worked out well. The foster care system is shit. Adoptions take, what, years? These kids are abused.
Medical diagnosis, the baby could kill the mother. Like,
yeah.
There's just so much more than people literally saying, I don't want to have a baby. But also just saying, I had an abortion because I don't want to have a baby is a completely valid reason.
That's fine. And let's keep in mind, like, a lot of people are going to hear this and go, oh, well, you shouldn't have had sex, or, oh, you should have used birth control.
Fuck off.
Okay, first of all, I don't personally, we're going to go, tiny rant here. Periods are shit. The shit that women get for being on their periods is also shit. Like, people need to change their mindset. I should not have to apologize if I'm in a cranky mood because my fucking insides are, you know, going
shedding,
against me right now.
Literally, yeah. Shedding out
you
of your
literally
body.
You literally have, you know, pints of blood come out of you, okay? And you tell me that you're going to be all happy-go-lucky, okay? It's not going to happen. So this whole image of what women should be, throw that out the window. But also, birth control I should not have to pay for birth control. I should not have to go through insurance for birth control. It should just be widely available.
Yep, sex education should be more widely available.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the other thing. Like, I get people have their kinks. Fine, whatever. To a certain degree, because some of your kinks are illegal, you fucking twats. We should probably show people safe sex.
Yeah.
Because
no, I agree. And consensual sex.
Yes, consensual and safe sex. Because half the shit that you see out there is just like on a whim. Like, nobody wants to talk about how to have safe sex.
Yeah. And no one wants to talk about how to pleasure women, because I genuinely do think the whole argument, going back to what you said, like, oh, you shouldn't have had sex, that's only said to women. Like, it villainizes
exactly.
A woman who's having sex because women shouldn't like sex historically,
which,
like,
is
what we're told.
Really fucking stupid. It's
just
another
false
way to, like, suppress women.
Yeah,
we can't have our wants and desires without, you know, someone judging the fuck out of us. We have to just be submissive. That's not how it works.
That's not at all how it works. Yeah.
But, like, and men, if they don't have sex, they they're judged for that,
too. He hasn't had sex in a while. He just grabbed her butt. Dude, literally, that is no, fuck off.
Yeah. Grab my ass because you haven't had sex in a while. We should just cut it off.
Oh my god.
Other countries, if you steal something, you get your hand cut off. Stole a touch. Boom. Slap it. Right off. You know what? You want to do it again? Up to the elbow. Let's go. How much more do you want to lose?
I'm so glad we're on the same page with this shit.
And we just need to realize, everyone needs to realize that this is just the everyday for a woman. Like, even if someone's not trying to sexually harass you, sometimes they just do without knowing it. And it's because this is the norm that we've provided our children.
Yeah. And I'm, like, speaking from personal experience, I'm so on edge. Like, just going out into public, when someone looks at me, I'm like, this dude's gonna make a fucking comment. For example, I was walking my dog Ezra, who is a beautiful dog, across our parking lot in the apartment, and some dude stopped his truck, rolled down the window, and I was like, oh, fucking great. I'm about to tell this dude to fuck off because I don't want his advances. And no, he was just like, oh, your dog is such a pretty dog. Like, what is he? And I was like, oh my God, like, why is my why is my first thought that this dude is gonna make like an unwanted advance on me? Oh, wait, it's because I get that more than I get people just being nice to me. Like, that's why I think like that.
I walked into work the other day because I had to go grab something really quickly and leave because I was teleworking that day. But I went in to grab something from my manager, and I had on a hoodie, leggings, and then my jacket that covered my butt, you know? And then I walked in, you know, I had my boots on and everything. The only thing that I would wear differently if I was actually going to stay into work is, like, a pair of jeans or maybe some nicer pants, which are basically just leggings, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know how many looks I got? Like, middle-aged white men who just would, like, stop and just look at me up and down.
Yeah.
Can you stop?
It's disgusting.
And it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. It doesn't matter what I look like. And I have to point out, it wasn't just like, looking and going, oh, she's wearing leggings. Cool. Super. Because I look at girls and I do that. Some girls come into the office with leggings. I'm like, yes, girl.
Get it. Yeah, do it. Do what you gotta do. Yeah.
But it was like the judgmental eyes. Like, you can kind of tell because they had this look on their face too. It was annoying.
Yeah. And we work in... Both Kayla and I work in male-dominated environments, and I can relate to that. Like, I can relate to just sitting in my cubicle, and someone walks by, and it's just full-on staring at me the entire time they're walking by. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Have you never seen a 20-year-old female, like, working in this office? What the fuck are you looking at?
I got, something happened with my computer, and I had to put in, like, a ticket, and so I had an IT guy come and try to help me. And he basically had to, like, uninstall some shit and reinstall it. But he was so confused at the time. So we were just, like, chatting. And I had my Korean book out. And so we were just talking about that and talking about, like, Korea and Japan and a bunch of other stuff. And, like, candies and cookies from there and stuff. Because someone had brought in, like, yakwa, which is, like, a Korean cookie. I think I said it correctly. If I didn't, I'm so sorry. But, yeah. And so, like, I handed him one because I had an extra one. And we were just talking. And it was great. But then... I guess he felt like he had, like, this rapport with me because we've talked for, like, 30 minutes. And then he had to come back for another reason. And then, like, weeks later, he was passing by and saw me there. And he was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Just nice conversation. But then, like, he, I guess, felt it was cool to, like, invite me to go to a pool with him, which is fine. But, like, we're not at that level.
Read the room, first of all. Like, we're not at that level. Work.
Yeah. But he was like, oh, well, I'm getting out of here early, and I would invite you to a pool, but you're working late, so, oh, well. Like, I don't know if he was just trying to be funny or not, but that's kind of, like, the situation that we work in.
And also, I'm just like, why are you invited? I've spoken to you for 30 minutes. Why do you think that I want to hang out with you?
There was no flirtation at all there. Yeah. It was just, like, literal it's just you nice being conversation.
A kind the human nice. Being.
The guy's really nice, but.
But still, I'm sure he was like, oh my God, she's talking to me. She's being nice. I'm going to invite her without inviting her kind of deal. And I'm not cool with that. I personally am like.
It caught me off guard. I was just like, oh, okay.
I'm being kind to you. I'm at work being my nice self. Right. And I don't like, just because I'm nice to you doesn't mean I want to date you, my friend. Like,
Yeah, I don't want that. Or even be friends with you, really.
Yeah, or even be friends with you.
Yeah, just the fact that, I mean, I would have said no. Like, you are inviting
someone that you've known for 30 minutes. You could fucking drown me in this pool. I don't know who you are.
Exactly, exactly. Like, so you've invited me. And you might think that that's nice, but, like, on think about it from a female's perspective. Why would I go out after work with a guy that I know nothing about to a pool where, like, I would wear minimal clothing?
And don't get me wrong. I'm sure that he wouldn't murder you. I'm sure that he wouldn't be mean.
Or I'm sure that he's very nice. Maybe that was just his way of flirting.
But there's still a chance that he could be a serial killer. Or that
it was
he
just
could
a jump.
Yeah, huge jump. Not cool with it. Not cool with
it. He didn't show his work on that equation, so I got lost.
Always show your work, people.
Yeah, seriously.
Wrapping up the rant.
Yeah. Anyway, that was weird. Let's get back to it.
That was, you know, a slippery slope, but we're chugging back up it.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll just dive on off.
Yeah. Okay, so on June 2nd, 2013, in Denver, Colorado, yeah, Taylor Swift, who was 23 at the time of the incident, was backstage doing a meet and greet for her fans. So, like, just to paint a picture, there's this massive line. Fans are coming up, you know, a few at a time to say hi to Taylor, have her photo or their photos taken with her. And in this line stood a man named David Mueller and Shannon Melcher, whom worked for the KYGO radio station, which is where this event was hosted. Okay, and so the KYGO radio station is like this huge, like, country music radio station in Denver. And David was a morning DJ. And I'm not sure what Shannon did, but she worked there as well, and they were dating. Yeah, so Shannon and David are, like, sitting there. They're waiting to meet Taylor. Finally, like, their turn comes up. They come up to say hi, get ready to take their photo with her. And as the photographer is taking the photo, Taylor claims that David, this random, washed up, deep fucking DJ, reached under her skirt and grabbed her bare butt.
I'd make a scene right then and there.
So Taylor tries to scoot away towards Shannon, you know, like, what the fuck? Is this an accident? Let me just scoot. But David did not.
What do you mean? How was that an accident?
Well, she gave him the benefit of the doubt, but he did not move his hand. And it is, like, completely unmistakable. This dude is touching her fucking ass. And
what,
so,
the audacity that he has.
In fucking public. Like, oh my God. Okay, so the moment the photo was over, David and Shannon walked off and exited the room like nothing happened, you know? So Taylor was understandably shocked and disgusted. She didn't know what to fucking do. There's, like, you know, still a massive line of fans ready to meet her, so she just decided to keep going with the meet and greet.
Mm-mm. And I would have stopped everything and made a scene.
And when she had a moment to break free, she told her mom, Andrea, what had just happened to her. So now I want to pause, and I want to show you the photo.
Oh, man. You know what, though? That's, like, a thing in Korea. There's not the ability to take off the shutter sound on your camera. And then a lot of the girls will wear shorts under their skirts, or they're, like, built in now. Because they constantly get stuff like that happen to them on the subways.
That's disgusting. Okay, put it
you
in the chat.
You can see it.
She is, like, literally arched away from this fucking monster. And his
you
hand...
You can see it.
His hand is literally right where her butt cheek is. Like, obviously the photo's, like, not taken from the back, but you can see from the front where his hand is placed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So Taylor Swift was, like, 23 at this time. You know, she's a new star. And I'm sure when that happened, she was just literally, like, this is not happening to me. This dude just did, he did not just fucking have the audacity to do this. And then whenever she realized it, she was probably like, you know, she's probably in shock and just, like, kept going with the meet and greet and then had a moment and was like, oh my God. And then told her mom. Yeah.
Well, so that's, like, the other thing that a lot of people aren't going to understand. Like, if something like that happens to you, you kind of, like, need a moment to process it and think about, like, what you should do, what's okay, what's not okay, because shit has just been ingrained in everybody that it's okay to do whatever you want with women, and it's not.
Yeah, and I'm personally, like, even at, you know, I'm only 2 years older than her right now, so 25, like, if someone grabbed my bare butt in a photo, I'd be like, this did not just fucking happen. And, like, I would just stand there for a moment and be like, what the fuck? Like, what? So I'm sure she had the same exact reaction.
Yeah, and, people really shouldn't, like, do things that they shouldn't be doing so that, I don't like confrontation. I don't like it at all. Mm-hmm, but if you're doing something like that to me, like, I'm going to be more mad that you didn't do what you should have done and now are forcing me to have confrontation. Like,
yeah.
It irritates me.
Now I have to be an asshole. To.
Yeah. Now I have to be perceived as the bad guy for making you do what you should have done in the first place. But you know what? I'll just be the bad guy. Don't fucking touch me.
Yeah. So Taylor Swift's mom, Andrea, was fucking obviously pissed. She went and told the tour manager and the security team members, obviously demanding that something be done to this guy. So from there, the Taylor team removed David and Shannon from the venue, which, like, I don't really think is fair to Shannon because obviously Shannon didn't know what was going on and she didn't grab Taylor's butt. But nonetheless, you know, I digress on that one. So the next day, Taylor's radio promotion director, whose name was Frank Bell, you know, called KYGO and he was like, hey, what happened was not okay. It was gross. It was gross. It should never happen to anyone, ever. And so he spoke with the vice president at KYGO, and he was like, hey, just so you know, like, I work for Taylor Swift. One of your morning DJs over there groped her, which is also known as another word for sexual assault. And oh, by the way, we have a picture of it.
Yeah.
And so he goes ahead and he sends a photo to this vice president. And obviously, like, you saw the photo, like, David has a just, like, a shit-eating grin on his face. And he's just like, yeah, I'm doing this in the middle of public. And Taylor is just sandwiched next to Shannon, obviously trying to get away from David.
Yeah.
And at this point, I do want to point out that some newspapers and magazines were like, oh, you know, his hand was just below her waist, or it's
on... doesn't matter.
Or it's on her lower back, and I'm like, okay.
Don't touch a woman's lower back. Don't touch her shoulder. Don't touch anything.
Don't touch her.
Don't touch it.
And also, what is below her waist? It's her fucking ass. His hand is on her ass. And so, okay, the VP was like, oh shit, this is really bad. Send me the photo. Let me look at it. And at the time, this David guy had been working for KYGO for like 6 months, and he was on a 2-year contract for $150,000 a year, which is a lot more than I thought morning radio DJs made.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, I'm in the wrong profession, bro. I'm about to bounce. I'm not really. So the radio station and the VP, like, get this photo. And they're like, oh, this does look really bad. And so the VP talks with other management at the station. They talk with David, who, of course, denies this entire situation. And the radio station actually conducted their own investigation. And they found that David's story kept changing.
Oh.
Like, every time that they talked to him.
I think that we should point out, like, you should probably ask a woman if she's comfortable with you putting your arm around her.
Yeah.
Especially a celebrity like that.
Yeah, if you're about to take a photo, just be like, ask, hey, yeah. Is it okay?
Yeah. That's what I do. If you ask and she says yes, there you go.
There you go.
It doesn't mean you can ask to sexually assault her.
Very, very, it's a big difference of putting your arm around her shoulder and putting it on her bare booty.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, like, lower back, still, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, just don't. Whatever. So ultimately, the radio station decided they didn't want to keep David around, and apparently, they thought about firing him a few times before this, and this was just the last straw. And so they let him go, claiming that he violated the morality clause of his contract. And that's it. DJ Grips Taylor Swift loses job. Case over. Just kidding.
Well, I mean,
obviously.
Good. He needs to lose his job. I mean, he's there in, like, an official capacity, was he not?
Yeah, he was there, like, as a radio DJ at their venue.
then yeah, 100%, you should lose your job. I mean, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. There you go.
So 2 years passes. It was 2015, and David felt that he had been wronged.
Wow, really?
He believes that he hadn't grabbed Taylor inappropriately, but yet he was the one who lost his job.
Finger literally probably near her butthole, but no, that's not inappropriate. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, guy.
That you feel so oppressed.
Yeah. So he decided to sue Taylor for $3 million on the grounds that she made a false accusation that costed him his employment and had done irreparable harm to his reputation.
But it took you 2 years to file a counter.
Mm-hmm. And, like, this dude. David said that he'd met a ton of female celebrities over the years, and none of them had ever claimed that he'd groped them.
Did you or did you not put your hand on her ass?
I know.
On, near, above, between, under.
And it's caught.
Inside. What, did you or did you
not?
Yeah. That's the question here.
But it gets better. It gets better. David then claimed that this whole situation had been a misunderstanding.
Oh. Is that gaslighting?
It was a case of mistaken identity. That hadn't been David.
Oh, it's the other white guy with the other.
Well, the other white guy's name is Craig. So Craig.
He totally looks like me. We get that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So Craig, who had no last name, according to David, came up to him on the night of the meet and greet, bragging about how he had managed to touch Taylor Swift's bottom without anything happening to him. What kind of defense is this shit? No, okay. You know, I never did that. Tons of females have never claimed that I sexually assaulted them. But wait, that wasn't me, so technically my record is still 100%. What?
So why didn't you tell that to your radio station when they tried to fire you 2 years prior? Oh, because you made it up. Story time.
So Taylor Swift is obviously not impressed. She was like, no, I have a photo of the assault. Oh, and by the way, a photo of the person who did it, not this Craig guy.
Yeah.
So looking back, Taylor said, quote, "As a moment came for us to pose for the photo, he took his hand and put it up my dress and grabbed my ass cheek. And no matter how much I scooted over, it was still there. It was completely intentional. I have never been so sure of anything in my life," end quote.
Yep.
So the queen herself, Taylor Swift, decided to countersue Dirtbag David for assault and battery. And she sued David for $1.
Good.
She said that she did not need any more money and instead that the suit was the right thing to do. And she hoped that her lawsuit would, quote, "serve as an example to other women who may resist publicly reliving similar outrageous and humiliating acts," end quote. Yes, girl. Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't think David has a dollar anymore. What happened to him? Are you going to get into that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So then, just months later in 2016, David added a slander claim. A slander claim against Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
And so during this time, David completed his deposition and he claimed that he had audio tapes from his termination, which was huge because he was suing for wrongful termination as well. Mm-hmm. Except that David had to admit that under oath, he'd edited those tapes at his discretion. And if anyone ever wanted to hear those full files, well, that's just too bad because he spilled coffee on his laptop and ruined them all.
I bet.
And so now the judge is like, "Hey, dude, you're a dumbass. You just admitted that you edited those tapes and destroyed evidence." So David got sanctioned.
Nice.
So finally, on August 10th, 2017, the civil trial began and both of these cases were tried at once. So David's case against her and her case against him.
Mm-hmm.
So the jury was made up of 6 women and 2 men who would decide the outcome of both lawsuits through the defendant's testimony.
Mm.
So Taylor's attorney obviously laid out the accusations against David that he'd groped her, destroyed evidence, and was constantly changing his story.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in this deposition, David had identified the unknown Craig as Eddie Haskell, who was actually his former boss.
What?
Yeah. So he's just trying to throw anyone under the bus for this shit. And so when David takes the stand, Taylor's lawyer's like, yo, at one point you tried to blame this whole thing on your boss. And David responded, no, I never did that. And Taylor's lawyer was like, okay, here's the tape of your own deposition. And then also on stand, David had to admit that he'd been fired from a radio station in Minneapolis. And before that, he was fired from a job in Kansas City. So Taylor Swift's lawyer was like, hey man, isn't it possible that you're having trouble finding a job because like you're a shitty worker, you know? Like you have a habit of being fired.
Yeah.
And then they busted out the photo, to which David said like, oh no, I didn't deliberately touch her inappropriately. I may have touched her when I was trying to jump into the photo or something. He said, quote, my hand came into contact with part of her body and I felt what appeared to be a rib cage or a rib, and it went behind her, and her hand or arm went behind my arm, end quote. So in the end, David claimed that he didn't do it. And if he did do it, he hadn't meant to do it.
Her ass is much, much lower than her rib cage. I don't know if we've taken an anatomy class, but it's not really where that sits.
Yeah, it's fair. It's much lower.
You're not hugging a fucking toddler, buddy.
Yeah.
You're hugging someone's ass.
You're hugging a grown woman. Like, come on. Yeah. So Taylor's legal team actually had a theory, which I think is really interesting. And so they claim that David had groped her in part because his feelings were hurt.
His feelings were hurt? His white male ego was broken?
So David, like we said, was a local DJ. This was the venue that his, like, you know, place had. They were sponsoring all of this. And he'd shown up to her concert expected to be, like, to be treated like a VIP, and he wasn't.
You're not. You're a radio host.
Yeah, you're a morning radio host, dude. Like, shut up. He had to wait in line, and when he finally met Taylor, she was cold. And instead of, you know, greeting David with a warm smile, she bonded with David's now former girlfriend, Shannon.
Thank God. Well, yeah, and so...
Yeah.
So some girl doesn't give you attention and you just, you feel like you need to assault her?
We don't owe you shit, bro. That's like, you're in line.
I don't have to be nice to you. I don't have to smile at you. I don't have to look at you.
Yeah.
None of that.
And my thing is, like, you're in line to meet a fucking pop star. Like, come on, dude. She doesn't give a fuck about you. I'm sorry.
Who knows what the heck he does to, like, regular women who reject him? Like, non-celebrity women. Yeah, who don't give him the time of day.
Ugh. So Taylor's lawyer asked David, quote, how did you feel when you met Taylor? And David responded, quote, when she didn't invite me over to pose for the photograph with her, I considered her cold and standoffish. She didn't acknowledge me, end quote.
Why is a grown-ass man there to see her?
Yeah, and why does she have to acknowledge you and make you feel all warm and special inside? She doesn't owe you shit.
She doesn't. And guess what? If a girl doesn't want to talk to you or look at you or be nice to you or really say anything to you, they don't owe you anything and they're not a bitch for it.
They literally, women owe you
nothing. You're the bitch for thinking that.
Okay, so next, Taylor took the stand. And like the absolute queen she is, she was confident, direct, and was taking nobody's shit.
Good.
And so David's lawyer asked Taylor at one point, quote, shouldn't you be more critical of your bodyguard? And Taylor Swift responded, quote, I am critical of your client sticking his hand under my skirt and grabbing my ass, end quote.
So because her bodyguard didn't catch this or see this or stop this, it's okay?
It's their fault. It's not the guy who did this. It's the bodyguard.
He went under the radar, so it's okay?
And at another point, the lawyer said, quote, how did you react knowing that David was fired? How did that make you feel? End quote. And Taylor Swift said, quote, I am not going to allow you or your client to make me feel in any way that this is my fault, because it isn't. Yep. I am being blamed for the unfortunate events of his life that are a product of his decision and not mine, end quote.
Yes, exactly. And that is something that the justice system needs to look at. You shouldn't, as a judge on that case or any other sexual assault or harassment case, should not allow the defending attorney to villainize the victim.
Yep, and that's exactly what they did. Because the lawyer said, quote, "If you were so upset, why didn't you end the meet and greet? You could have ended it." And Taylor responded, quote, "And your client could have taken a normal photo with me," end quote. She's so awesome. I love her.
Good. She's not even like, he's trying to put her in a position to defend her actions, and she's not even allowing it.
She doesn't have
There's
to.
There's no defense needed.
Nope. She's good. Like, it's fucked up what he did, not me. I'm not fucked up for being famous and taking photos with fans. This isn't my fault.
Exactly. Good. Good. Perfect reaction.
Okay, so this is one of my other favorite ones. Next, David's team broke out the infamous photo. And his lawyer asked Taylor, quote, "If his hand is on your butt, then why isn't the front of your skirt lifted or wrinkled?" And Taylor said, quote, "Because my ass is located at the back of my body."
Nice.
Another time, the lawyer asked Taylor if David deserved to lose his job over the alleged incident. And Taylor said, quote, "I don't feel anything about Mr. Mueller. I don't know him. I think what he did was despicable and horrifying and shocking."
Good.
So Taylor got a lot of praise for this testimony, as she should have.
Yeah, she should. It was the perfect testimony.
Yeah, she refused to feel bad or like she would like wrong David because he got fired. And she refused for the blame to be placed onto her.
Yeah, he wronged himself by acting like a twat.
This is not her fault.
Nope.
So the next day, August 11th, 2017, Judge Martinez dismissed Mueller's defamation lawsuit against Swift, saying that Taylor did not act inappropriately by contacting KYGO to inform them of the incident. And then on August 14th, 2017, the jurors ruled that Mueller was guilty in Taylor Swift's assault and battery case.
Good.
Taylor was awarded the requested sum of $1 and pledged to donate an unspecified amount to organizations that are aimed at helping sexual assault victims.
Good. Nice.
So she had an interview in the Miss Americana magazine, and she said, quote, "You don't feel any sense of victory when you win because the process is so dehumanizing. This is with 7 witnesses and a photo. What happens when you get raped and it's your word against his," end quote.
Exactly.
I literally have chills.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point.
Yep.
7 witnesses and a photo, you can clearly see it.
And they still tried to place the blame on her.
Yeah.
So that year in 2017, Time Magazine gave its Person of the Year award to the Silence Breakers. This was in honor of women who came forward with sexual assault and harassment stories to break the stigma, and one of those people was Taylor Swift. And now I think Taylor had a really good interview, like, within the Time magazine, so I just wanted to, like, read a couple of them. And so she was asked, quote, "After this experience, what advice would you give to your fans?" She responded by saying, quote, "I would tell people who find themselves in this situation that there is a great deal of blame placed on the victims in cases of sexual assault and harassment. You could be blamed for the fact that it happened, for reporting it, and blamed for how you reacted. You might be made to feel like you're overreacting because society has made this stuff seem so casual. My advice is that you not blame yourself and do not accept the blame that others will try to place on you. You should not be blamed for waiting 5 minutes or 15 days or 15 years to report sexual assault or harassment, or for the outcomes of what happens to the person after he or she made the choice to sexually harass or assault you." Next, she was asked, quote, "Is this a watershed moment for the way we think about sexual assault and harassment in culture?" Taylor responded, quote, "I think that this is important for awareness for how parents are talking to their children and how victims are processing their trauma, whether it be new or old. The brave women and men who have come forward this year have all moved the needle in terms of letting people know that this abuse of power shouldn't be tolerated. Going to court to confront this type of behavior is lonely and draining, even when you win, even when you have the financial ability to defend yourself. Even though awareness is higher than ever about workplace sexual harassment, there are still so many people who feel victimized, afraid, and silenced by their abusers and circumstances. When the jury found in my favor, the man who sexually assaulted me was court-ordered to give me a symbolic $1. To this day, he has not paid me that dollar, and I think that act of defiance is symbolic in itself," end quote. So after this interview, obviously David started to get a lot of heat about not paying this literal one fucking dollar. So David decided to pay her by sending her a Sacagawea coin. He told the Associated Press that he did this as a, quote, final jab at Taylor, saying, quote, "I mean, if this is all about women's rights, it's a little poke at them a little bit. I mean, I think they made this into a publicity stunt, and this is my life," end quote. "No, dude, you ruined your life because you sexually assaulted someone. I don't know how else to make that clear to you.
You no longer get to run around and do whatever you want because somebody didn't look at you."
Yeah, and just sending the Sacagawea coin is like, it's just annoying, you know? Like, you're so fucked up, dude, like, to think that that's a jab.
Very white male energy, though.
Yes, that is white male. WME.
WME.
And so that is the story of Taylor Swift's sexual assault lawsuit, but it's also the story about, you know, how sexual harassment can happen to anyone, anywhere, in public, in private, wherever you are, it could happen to you, and anyone can be a victim. And you hashtag do not victim blame.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. People are shit.
That makes me love Taylor Swift even more.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, I heard some of it whenever it was happening, but I never looked into it, but
mm-hmm.
Good. Very good. Yep. Perfect answers. That's exactly how I feel. You do not have to defend yourself for any reason whatsoever. You don't.
Oh, and just like one more funny thing. I'd read during the research that apparently this is the most, her trial was the most time that the word ass has ever been spoken in a Colorado court. So I was like, I love that. My ass. And I just think
it's located in the back of my body.
Yeah. And I think her saying he touched my ass is so much more direct than saying he groped my bottom. Saying it as a vulgar, make people listen.
Yep.
You
he
go,
was
girl.
Aggressive in his act, so I can be aggressive in how I tell you.
Yeah. And holding him accountable. Yes, queen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so my case is maybe it's weird. It's just weird. We're going to go into a lot of weird stuff. So welcome to Free For All. Okay, so do you know where Papua New Guinea is?
Yes.
Okay. So Papua New Guinea was believed to be uninhabited until around 1930, sometime in that decade, when a tribe of about 1 million people were found living in the highlands.
1 million? Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So gold prospectors from Australia were out surveying the land, and they discovered the tribe, and this tribe is known as the Four, F-O-R-E. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly.
The Four.
The Four. So in the 1950s, researchers made their way over to where this tribe was living, and they discovered that approximately 200 people a year were dying from some just inexplicable disease.
What?
Yeah. These people would have trouble walking. They would eventually just lose control over their limbs. Some would even lose control over their emotions, which caused this weird, unknown disease to sometimes be called laughing death.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Within a year, those that were infected could not even get off the floor, feed themselves, or control any bodily functions.
What?
Yeah. So the locals actually thought this disease was a result of sorcery.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Well, but it affected mostly women and some children under 8 years old. No men.
Women and children under 8 years old. Okay, I'm trying to discover in my brain what it might be.
Yeah. So because of this disease, obviously, you know, 200 people a year are dying.
Especially and women.
They're mostly just women.
Yeah.
So there were pretty much no young women left within the tribe. The tribe actually thought they were going to die out.
Oh my God.
You have any idea of what it could be?
No, I don't. I don't right now.
Okay. So in 1961, a researcher named Shirley Lindenbaum traveled to the village to start mapping family trees. She was trying to explain what was causing the disease.
Huntington's? Mm. No, I think Huntington's is a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep going. Mm.
So Shirley found out that it was not genetic because it affected women in the same social groups, but not in the same genetic groups. Okay.
Okay.
Women, some children, so same social groups, and it's not genetic. And people are dying. 200 a year, that's a lot.
That is a lot, especially like you were saying, women. You cannot need to reproduce.
You can't reproduce fast enough for the women that are dying out. So she also found out that the disease started in the north and then moved south over the decades.
Has to be like something they're eating, right?
Huh?
Not maybe. Genetic in their social groups. Okay, keep going. North
Shirley had a hunch about what was causing the disease, and she turned out to be right. It was known as Kuru. K-U-R-U.
Okay.
So, Kuru actually, the definition means shivering or trembling. Hmm. Huntington's vibes.
Oh.
Ah.
It's was not, I right? Though. Oh, dang.
You are partially right.
But I was like, oh, when you said not genetic, I was like, yeah, it's not Huntington's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Kuru is considered a prion protein disease.
Okay.
This is an entirely new infectious agent consisting of no genetic material and that could withstand being boiled.
What the hell? Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah. This new infectious agent isn't even considered alive.
What year
is this? Now?
This is like the 60s, right? Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah, the
60s. Oh my God, help these people.
Mm-hmm. So, it's not considered a virus, a parasite, a fungus, or a bacterium.
What the hell is it?
It's whole new. It's a prion protein disease. This is what it's considered. Now, eventually, you're going to figure out why this is kind of terrifying. Researchers are not sure why animals and humans have prion proteins in the first place. We don't even know what these prion proteins technically does. So, the best leading hypothesis, and it's not even... We don't even know yet, but the best hypothesis says that prion proteins play an important part in protective coating around the nerves.
Oh, wow. And that's just an educated guess.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Okay. There's your story time. So this is how we found it. Creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And this is from the 60s, 50s and 60s. But keep in mind, it's a slow-moving disease.
Yeah.
Like, it kills people quickly, but it spreads throughout civilizations over decades.
Are you going to talk about how it spreads?
Yeah.
Okay. You said, yeah.
So, the first one, Kuru, was found in the 1930s Papua New Guinea tribe called the Four. And you were right. It is something that they're eating.
Okay.
So, women would actually eat the remains of the dead at funerals. Everything except for the gallbladder. They would take the brain and they would grind it up with ferns and cook it in tubes of bamboo.
Okay, I almost said, is it something to do with eating brains? But I didn't want that to come up as like, insensitive or me like trying to pinpoint them, you know, just being like, oh, it's a tribe, they eat brains, you know, but okay.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. So it was seen as an act of love and grief.
Yeah.
Because if you bury them, they're going to be feasted on by worms. If you put them on this altar, they're going to be feasted on by insects. And so it was seen as more respectful that the remains of the dead were consumed by the tribe itself. Because if someone's going to eat them, like, supply, yeah, the tribe. So they also believed that women were the only ones capable of holding on to and taming any dangerous spirits that could accompany dead bodies.
Well, that didn't work out very well, but...
Well...
So, I like where your brain's at.
Yes. So then we go back to women and some children. So why children?
Because they're birthing the children and it's getting passed down? Oh, but it's not genetic.
It's not genetic, no. So the children, up until a certain age, even the boys, would live with the women, right? They were one of those separated tribes. And then at a certain age, the boys would go live with the men. Okay. Well, up until that age, they would take snacks from their mothers, which would sometimes be remains of these dead bodies. And then when they moved in with the men of the tribe, they were told, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, because you're men now.
So the last case of someone dying from Kuru was in 2009.
That's recent.
Oh, yeah. It's a little too recent for... Or, you know, comfort.
Yeah. But,
so these researchers found out what was causing it, and they mapped it out, and then they kept trying to, like, keep a track of it. So by 2012, it was monitored until 2012, and then this epidemic was officially declared over.
Okay.
Cool. Look at that. Still scary.
That's terrifying.
Yes. This... Kuru disease is actually similar to Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD. Now, I didn't know what the heck that was.
I don't know what it is.
Because I went into a rabbit hole. So, CJD is a neurodegenerative disorder. It is always fatal, usually within 1 year of onset illness. So, not even, like, symptoms, illness.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. And there's roughly 1 to 1.5 cases per 1 million people per year worldwide.
Oh, so it's pretty rare, you know?
Yeah. This disease, CJD, was actually recognized in the 1920s. But it's believed to occur sporadically with a risk increasing with age.
Okay.
Okay. So... About 85% of cases are sporadic, with the remaining being genetically inherited mutations of the prion protein gene.
Oh, shoot.
So with Kuru and some of these others, the prion protein, it twists, it mutates.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to, which is weird.
That is weird to think about.
Resident Evil vibes, you know?
Yeah.
So, not genetic. But it's similar to this disease, which is, like, what, genetic. 15% genetic?
Yeah.
That's scary, so...
Oh my god, so do they think someone had that, and then they ate them, and it just infected everyone?
This is what happened. So, they believe that someone from the tribe actually had CJD.
Yeah.
They ate they were cannibals, right?
And then they were all...
And then it, like, got passed down.
Oh!
In, like, this weird disease. So they think it originated with CJD and cannibalism together.
And then just kind of, like, evolved.
And it's important to note that it's not just cannibalism, it is in the brain. It's in the brain.
Oh, that's where the stuff lives?
Yes. And so what happens with, like, prion protein diseases, so those proteins twist, and then it starts, like, you start getting, like, sponge-like holes in your brain.
Ew.
So, I mean, it, like, eats away. And, you know, within a year, you can't function anymore. So it's
just eating your brain.
Like, it's like messing with your brain, you know? I don't know if it's technically eating it, but it's messing with it, so.
Ah, didn't they crack open a skull and be like, this brain looks kind of fucked up. Let's not eat it. Yeah. But I guess it,
they didn't know what brains looked like in the 30s.
Yeah, but I guess that their, like, view on it is much more lovely than my typical view on cannibalism. Because I'm like, oh my god, you're eating a human. But to them, it's, like you apparently said, it's love. It's
super normal, too. Like, even though it's looked at with this stigma, right?
Yeah.
And you and I look at cannibalism and go, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, I'm like, good. Ew.
No, thanks. Especially with, like, brains. I don't know why brains freak me out, but I do not.
Yeah.
Even, like, pig brains, monkey brains. You know how some people eat that stuff?
But I can't
just,
do
like,
that.
I can't. And I don't know, like, maybe it's just the way that I was conditioned or brought up or something.
Yeah.
I just, it just feels, it feels wrong to me.
Yeah, it's just too close to what makes that person them.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, they didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. Well, not throwing shade or anything or, like, criticizing anybody at all. I'm just telling you about these weird diseases.
That is so cool. I honestly, like, if I wasn't a criminology major, I'd love to be an anthropology major. Just study different cultures in the world and, like, why they do things.
Absolutely. So, between 1979 and 2019, the average annual rate in the United States was 3.6 cases per 1 million in persons over the age of 50.
Of
so it goes
CJ.
From 1 to 1.5 to 3.6.
That's high. That's double.
Over the age of 50, yeah. So the older you get, the more you are at risk of getting this disease that's not genetically passed down. It just, like, occurs.
Your brain just, or your body's just like, oh, shit, and it just starts twisting.
Yeah. Ugh. And then sponging your brain.
I don't like this. I have a fear now.
Yeah?
Yeah, of getting spongy brain.
That's creepy. It kind of reminds me of, like, Alzheimer's.
Yeah. My great-grandma had Alzheimer's, and, you know, not that it's funny, but it was kind of funny because she would call my mom, who, like, took care of her, nurse, and she'd be like, nurse, nurse. And my mom's like, my name's Stacey. And she'd be like, okay, nurse.
That's funny. Yeah, my great-grandmother had Alzheimer's.
Yeah. This is, like, our family, like, you know, theory, because it, like, skips a generation, which means that my mom will have it, but I won't, if that's true.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's why you gotta do your crossword puzzles, read, make your brain work, people.
Research
brain exercises.
For a podcast.
Yeah, that's work.
You're telling me. But I always feel really good after I do research and, like, we start recording. I feel really good after that.
Yeah. I like talking and being creative and, like, expressing my opinions, even if people don't agree or we go on too many rants. I enjoy this.
It's a good outlet. It really is.
It's honestly a really good creative outlet because I...
Definitely.
Like, my only other creative outlet is really just reading.
Yeah.
So this is a really good way to, like, express my creativity and... get it out for people to listen to.
Exactly. All right, two types. There's actually now two types of CJD. There's the classic type, which I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And then there's a variant. So the classic type, the average age at death is 68. Average duration. Yeah, definitely is. Average duration is 4 to 5 months.
After diagnosed?
Or
symptoms?
I don't know if it's, like, diagnosed or just, like, it's been there, so.
Oh, my God. What do you... If I got that, I'd be like, all right, increase my credit card limit, and I just, like, go
give
travel the world.
Credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then signs of this are dementia and neurologic signs.
Ugh.
So, if you have an older family member who has dementia, 3.6 per 1 million people... could get CJD, which is even rarer.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So the variant, the average age at death is 28.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Duration is 13 to 14 months. And the signs of this are prominent psychiatric or behavioral symptoms.
Okay.
Delayed neurological signs.
Not me, okay.
Painful dysesthesias, which are abnormal sensations on the skin, such as burning or prickling. So, like, your nerves are, like, misfiring.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because the prion protein is thought, possibly,
to protect
your nerves. Or play some important role.
You nerded out on this episode.
Seriously. Did I go too far?
You were like, it all is coming together. I'm just imagining you alone. Like, oh my God.
I know. I was loving it. Every time I was typing it up, I was like, no.
No.
Really? So there is a strong scientific evidence that the agent responsible for the outbreak of BSE stands for bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Yes.
AKA mad cow disease.
So that was all the rage of a couple years ago. Right?
So there was a strong scientific evidence that the agent responsible for mad cow in cows is also responsible for the variant CJD outbreak in humans.
Whoa.
Ooh.
So it jumped?
That's what they're thinking.
Oh my God.
Like when you give blood and they ask you if you were in a region where mad cow disease was prevalent and you consume beef products, like it can travel through blood. Like you can potentially, if you had it, give it to somebody else.
Dude. Diseases are fucky and like viruses, they're insane. Oh my God.
There is no known therapy to stop the progression of CJD.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
And honestly, like their lifespan isn't really like long enough to even test things to even know.
Seriously.
Okay, hold on. I wanted to get your take on something. Okay, so. What do you think about people who know that they have a potentially, like, life-ending, life-altering genetic mutation or deficiency that will be passed on to their children and they decide to have children?
I guess it depends on the motivation for having children. Like, if it's some selfish thing, like, I want a child that comes from me, I understand wanting to have children, but you can adopt children. There are tons of children who need adopted and are living in terrible conditions that would love a home.
Yeah.
So, like, and I also get wanting to have a child of your own because you want, like, a little mini. And it's adorable and it's cute.
I totally
cute,
understand.
And, like, you can, like, pass things on to your children.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know where they came from, essentially. So, like, you can maybe better prepare them.
Yeah.
For some hardships that they might face, but I don't know. I am 100% for adoption.
Yeah.
So if your child is going to, like, you shouldn't bring a child into the world if they're going to have, like, this.
Knowing.
Like, this, like, I guess it depends on what it is, because just because a child has some sort of, like, disease or mutation or deformity, it doesn't.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah. So here's where this came from. I was, like, watching, I think it was, like, TLC or maybe even, like, a YouTube video, I know, of a family who both the mother and the father have Huntington's, and they both made the decision to have children, and they had, like, 7 children, and they weren't testing their kids for the gene or whatever.
Well, they should be testing and, like, monitoring.
Yeah, I know. And so it brought up, like, this internal argument with myself because I was like, okay, you should not be having children because you know that you could potentially pass down this disease that will kill you. Like, it's going to kill you. Sorry.
And it's a terrible disease.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh my God. You obviously, like, want to have children, like, you feel like that fulfills you in some way, but it's just interesting because I'm like, I personally, if I had Huntington's or something, I would be like, no, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, diseases that will cause the person to die. We're not talking about, like, Down syndrome and autism because those people who have those are, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so the Huntington's one just on like made me think so much. I was like, oh my God. Because I
Yeah.
know at like 16, I'd be fucking pissed, dude. I'd be like, I didn't ask for this shit. I didn't
Yeah.
ask for this life. Like,
And that's the
and
thing,
now.
we don't have control when we come into the world. So like if your
Yeah.
parents know that you're gonna have a very rough life, it's kind of selfish
Yeah.
of them to bring you into this rough life. Like society already kind of sucks. And then just add on like the angst of being a teenager and then potentially having Huntington's. Like you're just I don't know.
Yeah, I can't
I
even
probably wouldn't
imagine.
personally do that.
Same.
But I'm like super for adoption.
Yeah, that's my thing. I'm like, just
I'm also kind of
adopt.
scared to like have a kid.
Fuck yeah.
Because I don't like doctors make me anxious,
I
like
don't want to
bad.
birth a kid.
For real. But I
I
also
like my
don't want that
body.
long ass needle.
Oh, the epidural.
I don't want my hips to separate because I feel like it hurts, you
Well,
know?
duh, yeah.
Like, come on.
I like having money. I like having free time.
See, that's the other thing. I don't feel like I have enough money for a
Yeah, I don't
child.
know if I ever will feel like I'm
And like,
financially
I
ready.
spoil my cat right
Yeah.
now. So like, just imagine having a baby. It would probably be 10 times more like
Ooh.
spoiled. Like, do you know how much shit this kid would have?
I know, yeah.
And like picking an education.
Yeah, you're literally creating and raising the next generation. And that's why, like, sometimes I'm like, people, you do not understand the gravity of this situation. I was actually talking with my mom about this the other day because some people from my hometown, like, have babies and then they go right back to partying and
Oh,
dating and
I
doing
hate
whatever.
that. Okay, look, when you get pregnant, your life is now about that child. So
And
it doesn't
that's,
matter what you
yeah.
want, it's all about the kid.
And that's what I was telling her. I was like, when I have a child, if I have a child, my whole world will be that child. And like,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna drink. I'm not gonna talk like down on myself. I'm not gonna talk
Yeah.
down on other people. I'm not gonna cuss because I wanna be the role model for that child of who I want them to be. And so just
Exactly.
like seeing people have kids and then when they're like 2 years old, like, you know, going out every once in a while, whatever. I don't really give a fuck. But like every weekend, and you're
Yeah, no.
like never home with
And
your kid, I'm like, oh, I'm judging.
I just don't, yeah, I agree. I just don't think that I am this wonderful person. Like, I know there's like so many things about myself that I should work on and, you know, do better at certain things. Like,
Before
yeah, and
creating
so
a
how am I
mini-me.
gonna, you know, create this chaos, you know, bundle when, you know, I don't have my shit together?
Yeah, and I'm
Or at
just
least I
like
feel like I don't have my shit together. Maybe like if I had a kid, I would just turn and like get
immediately
it
get it,
together
yeah.
immediately, but you don't know, so.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm not mature enough and I'm honestly like still selfish. Like I don't want to share my time with Steven with the child and I don't
Yeah.
want to share my money with the kid and my time and my literal fucking body. Like I don't want to do that. So that's why
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready for
Yeah.
a
And that's why
kid.
I don't know. I feel like if you like start the process of adoption, by the time you actually like you spend all this time preparing and getting ready, and then by the time you adopt your child, you have set everything up,
Yeah,
you know?
nested
'Cause
or
it takes
whatever.
years.
Yeah.
So,
Long tangents this episode. It's been a
seriously.
while since we've recorded, though, people. We need to
Seriously?
talk.
We have
God.
so much to say.
Steven already knows all my opinions. He's probably tired of listening to them. You
Oh,
guys need to listen to them.
seriously, yeah. No, but it's good too because we'll be gone for a little bit, so.
Yeah.
I'm kind
Yeah.
of sad.
Me
I'm sad
too.
about it.
I'm sad about starting school. Oh my God.
Seriously.
I'll be okay.
It's okay. You can do
Okay.
it. You can do it. All right, mad cow disease, aka BSE. Isn't that interesting though? Bovine spongiform
It's disgusting.
encephalopathy. Sponge. Because your brain turns into a sponge. Anyway,
Ew.
can transmit from cows to humans by consumption of infected meat products. Makes me not want to eat ground beef again, but it also makes me want a steak.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
That's what we're going to talk about, mad cow disease. I mean, everyone pretty much knows what that is. Now, the scary part. Oh, you so ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Chronic wasting disease is a prion protein disease in animals only.
For now.
Exactly. This is why this is so scary. AKA, have you heard of the zombie deer?
I've heard of it, haven't researched it. So I'm excited for whatever you're going to say.
Chronic wasting disease affects elk, deer, reindeer, moose, and sika deer. So it causes the animals that are infected with it to basically starve to death, usually within a year of onset illness. Some of them have no symptoms other than, you know, they're starving to death. So, and I mean, you can probably tell, you know, with the later cases, they're starving.
Yeah, yeah.
So this could be a potential problem with hunters, right?
Hell yeah.
They're getting infected meat.
And so, people who raise these animals.
So due to mad cow disease being transmittable from animals to humans, researchers are actually trying to determine if chronic wasting disease would also be transmittable from animals to humans. This would be a huge, huge, huge problem because all of the prion protein diseases that I told you about earlier, the prion proteins that were twisted and mutated were in the brain.
Okay.
Of course, again, causing sponge-like lesions and holes in the brain. Now, chronic wasting disease, it's the entire body. It's not just the brain. So mutated prion proteins are throughout the entire body. Imagine how crazy that would be if it went from these deer to us.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. And then they die within a year. We'd have, like, basically a zombie apocalypse on our hands, you know?
Yeah.
A more scientific version, but. This disease is believed to be transmitted through all bodily fluids, including saliva, blood, urine.
Oh my god, that's scary.
And feces, yes.
So, like, people who would be taking care of sick people could get it.
Well, yeah, so from the animals, all of this. It's transmittable basically every way. Literally anything from inside the body could potentially transmit this disease. So if it does jump from animals to humans, we have a major, major, we have another pandemic.
Yeah. Then we'd really have to stay inside.
Is that the right word? Pandemic? Or is it an epidemic?
I don't know the difference.
Who knows? So very, very important note here, which most people are just going to like throw out the window. The WHO actually recommends animals that are known to carry prion diseases should be removed and kept out of the human food chain.
What?
The WHO recommends we don't eat deer meat, moose meat, none of that. Just in case they're infected with this chronic wasting disease and just in case it can be transmitted.
Yeah, we don't know. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
People, my family eat deer because we... Well, they hunt them, and then we obviously use the meat.
Here's the other scary part about it. The prion diseases are considered slow diseases, and it could take decades for symptoms to start appearing in societies.
Oh, fuck no. Oh, my God.
Which makes it incredibly difficult to track.
Yeah.
So, scary.
Yeah, and I have, like I said, a new fear.
Well, I don't eat deer meat because I don't like how it tastes. And the only deer meat I've ever eaten tastes like gamey. And I just like that. And now that I've learned about this, it makes sense to me. Why? Like, no, you're good.
I like summer sausage and deer jerky. I don't really like deer steaks or anything like that.
What, is summer sausage like deer?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I like summer sausage.
Okay.
Oh, no. Is it deer, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we get summer sausage made with our deer meat. Let's look it up.
Weird.
Oh, it's any sausage that can be refrigerated until kept open. It is usually a mixture of pork and other meats, such as beef or venison, unless the product has the word beef in its name. So you're eating, like, a mixture, unless it says beef.
A mixture, okay.
So you can get, like, beef summer sausage, but we obviously use, like, venison.
Yeah. Just a couple more things and then we'll be done. So those of you who have like held on to this episode, thank you. The next thing that we're going to cover is something called Wendigo psychosis.
Wendigo psychosis. I know it's probably bad, but I kind of like the name.
Yeah. So it is actually considered a severe culture-bound syndrome occurring among northern, I'm going to mess this up, I'm very sorry, Algonquin Indians living in Canada and the northeastern United States.
What is it? So social bound? Is that what you said?
It's basically like a syndrome of...
Oh.
Like this culture of natives. Uh-huh. And this is where they live, Canada and northeastern United States. I'm not sure if there are other cases of it, but not to put stigma on them. Please don't. So the characteristics... So, yeah, it's a psychosis is what it is. The characteristics are delusions of becoming possessed by a Wendigo, which is a flesh-eating, like, cryptid monster thing. Also, depression, violence, a strong compulsion for human flesh, sometimes resulting in actual cannibalism.
It's a psychosis?
Yeah.
What the heck?
They think that they've been possessed by a Wendigo.
This is crazy.
Yeah, there are apparently some cases of this, which I stumbled upon. You're welcome. Now, the whole thing that got this started is I was sent a TikTok of these girls talking on their podcast of... There was, like, this story that she told, and I can't find anything of it. So I'm going to say that it's not real, probably, and that it's just, like, a creepypasta.
Yeah, I love those.
But basically what happened in the story is this girl, I guess for work or school or something, went overseas on like some kind of travel, and she was like working, and then on her off time she would hang out and like party and go to a bar and whatever. So one time she was at a bar and she met this guy. She ended up like making out with him and everything, and then she was offered to go back to his place, but she refused, and then nothing else came of it. And later she went home, back to the U.S. And when she came back to the U.S., she was sick. So she went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to the doctor, they found out she had this very contagious disease that she had potentially contracted from overseas. So they tried to map it out, obviously, and figure out what happened. What do you think happened? Do you have a guess?
Just because I hate men, I think he poisoned her. Or, like, infected her.
Dang, you think so? Okay, well, what happened is they somehow found the guy that she had made out with in the bar.
His saliva!
Oh, yeah? And then?
I don't know.
So, come to find out, after searching his place, he was a cannibal.
Oh my god!
Human flesh. Made out with her. She was actually supposed to be his other victim, but she never went home with him.
Oh my god. So she escaped
cannibalism to have a new contagious disease due to cannibalism.
Oh my god.
Again, I cannot find any supporting documentation about a case like this. So that's why I think it's a creepypasta. But that's how this whole thing came about.
You just, like, dove headfirst down the
street. Sure did. Look what I found. So, in conclusion, guys, cannibalism could potentially create zombies, and you're welcome.
And don't make out with strangers, but actually do it because making out is fun.
Do, but don't.
Do, but don't. We do not endorse making out with strangers on this podcast.
Very true.
That is insane, and again, I have a whole new fear of contracting this, like, you know, very not common disease, rare disease.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, so I do want to tell one funny story. So it was on this podcast called Wine and Crime, which I love that podcast. It is so good. They do these episodes called Gossip at the Cart episodes, where basically people in one segment like send in stories to them about the worst thing they've ever done, just funny stories. Okay, so this one girl, I assume it's a lady, I can't exactly remember the details, but she sends in this like write-up email of her talking about having a one-night stand with this guy who worked in a morgue. And she was like, She's like, oh, this is kind of weird, whatever. They hook up. He ejaculates, not in her, but on her face.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, she, like, has this huge rash, like, a couple days after. She's, like, really doesn't know what it is, so she goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, my God, you have this, like, flesh-eating bacteria on your fucking face. How did you get this? And she was like, I don't know how I got this. And basically, the doctors were like, you can get this bacteria from two ways. One is, like, I can't remember what it is. And the other one is having sex with dead people.
Oh, my God. So is that real, though? Is that actually, like, can you actually contract that?
I don't know. This girl apparently did. She could have been lying, but in the email that they read, apparently she did. This dude that she had a one-night stand with was fucking dead bodies.
There's actually a movie. There's a movie, and I don't remember what it's called, but it's about this girl who has, like, this one-night stand with this guy who works in a morgue, and he does necrophilia.
Yeah.
And it gave her basically, like, this zombie-like virus.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a free plug for Wine and Crime. I love all of you girls. If you ever want to do an episode with us, we would love nothing more.
Yes.
They're pretty popular, so probably out of our league. Yeah. But yeah. Okay, well, we hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. And don't forget, we have one more coming out next week. And then we're taking our break. But have no fear, we'll be back because we love you all and can't stay away.
Seriously?
There's some long tangents in this one. I think we're probably going to cut them down, but let us know if you like them.
It's still going to be a longer
episode, yeah. Yeah, let us know if you like them. Let us know if you don't like them. I personally love getting on a soapbox, so...
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, but well, what's our episode next week? Just murdered?
It should be just a classic murdered.
All right, yeah, so...
Just end with a classic and then come back with something
cryptids! Yeah. My favorite topic. So, yeah, we hope you guys, again, had a great holiday season. We hope you like and rate this podcast and join us next week.
See you later.
Bye.